This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So last week we learned of a tragic shooting that happened on the set of Rust, a film that is produced and stars Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin had discharged a firearm that he didn't think was loaded, killed the director of filmography, Helena Hutchins, as well as shot the director. Director was treated for minor wounds, was able to be discharged from the hospital, but sadly, Helena Hutchins, young mother, though she was 42 years old, died of her injuries. There's some updates. They say that, before she died, she said she couldn't feel her legs. She was actually shot in the chest. Original report said she was shot in the stomach. She had been shot in the chest area. Either lack of blood flow to the legs or the bullet lodged within her spine. She was airlifted to the nearby hospital level 1 trauma center and didn't make it. Alec Baldwin has been, beside himself, has been there with the family at the memorial, from what I understand, inconsolable, apologetic, but a lot of questions are surrounding what the heck happened. So a warrant obtained by New Mexico Sheriff's deputies is currently searching the Rust movie set. They're looking at memory cards, bone fragments, costumes. They even asked Alec Baldwin to change out of his wardrobe into street clothes so they could do forensics on his clothing. So police appear to be on it, but it just seems very, very confusing. We're now being told that they weren't actively filming, that Alec Baldwin was practicing his cross draw. And so probably for a scene, he was going to practice his, cross draw. And then they go, okay, do this. And working with guns, taking my CCW classes, being a daughter of somebody military and a granddaughter of a police officer, you just know that there are things you do with a gun. And you never trust somebody who hands you the weapon. You always look yourself. And we spoke about this last week when this first happened, where anybody who's going to touch a prop or a Colt, which is what this was, an antique Colt, you always check the chamber. And we don't do it. We think that if you are not necessarily trained in guns, you could just, I guess, listen to your assistants. And when Alec Baldwin was handed the gun and he shot the director of photography, he said, why was I handed a hot gun? But also what's very odd is whenever you film, you aren't supposed to aim anything directly at a crew member. Crew members are always off to the side. And even if you are aiming it towards the camera, the crew member would be away from the camera. And he was practicing his cross draw. So there should have been no reason why that gun should have been pointed at a person, which is why this makes it all concerning. Now I get, some people think, well, maybe he's just a bad shot. And so he was practicing, he was aiming it, and he's so bad that he hit somebody he should have never hit. But still, when you practice, it's always at an area where there's not going to be anybody near there. And I understand he didn't think it was loaded, which is just so tragic. So, The search warrants are revealing how Assistant Director Dave Halls handed Baldwin the gun, claiming it was, quote, a cold gun. And that's what I guess they do. They make a call saying cold gun, and then he takes it. Why would he say that if he didn't check it? I don't know. Or did he just check the latest chamber and the newer chambers and didn't see that there could have been something five rounds in? I just don't understand. So he called it a cold gun, handed it to Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin practiced with it. There were live rounds in the chamber. The armorer, the one that was running things, was Hannah Gutierrez Reed. She's the daughter of a very famous movie armorer. And she had said in a podcast earlier, I guess before she had been working with Nicolas Cage, how she didn't feel experienced. She didn't feel, ready. And so you start to wonder, I think she's only 24 years old. And so you look at everything all together. And then on top of that, we hear that the crew walked off the set just days before because of quote unquote lack of safety. Other reports have found that there was some misfirings of some guns. I think one was in a room of one of the staff. Of a gun that they thought wasn't loaded, that just fired rounds. So if this was kind of a well-known issue, if this was, it was already established that they have gun problems, there's staff leaving because of quote-unquote safety. Now, I mean, again, I can't verify that. Maybe they're saying, look, this is why we left. It could have been they left because of money issues. We heard that apparently they weren't allowed to stay in Santa Fe. They weren't put up in hotels. They had to stay in Albuquerque. So some very weird, 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 weird stuff that we're not getting any clarification on. But some of the reports are saying that Assistant Director Dave Halls grabbed one of the three quote-unquote prop guns that Hannah Gutierrez handed and set up. It was on a cart. The cart is gray. It's a rolling table with two layers. It was left outside of the building because of quote-unquote COVID restrictions. They said one of the prop guns was then grabbed by Dave Halls. He took it to the actor who was inside of the structure. As the assistant director handed the gun, he yelled cold gun, indicating the prop gun had no live rounds. The prop gun was then fired. So this is just one cluster after another. I can't explain what happened. I don't think anybody can. But I think movies are going to really have to rethink the safety and who they put in charge, because this was really half-assed and deadly. 1-877-DOC-TOLLY.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, our producer. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So when I got back from California this weekend, I saw that there was a report that Dr. Fauci had authorized there to be studies on young puppies that ended up killing them. And when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I am not in any mood for fake news. I don't need to see. I understand people are on the Fire Fauci bandwagon. Again, people don't like him. His role, I don't think, should have ever been. I think a lot of the COVID steering and public policy and and questions being answered should have been done by a panel and a group of doctors, not all this weight on one person who, as one president leaves and the other one comes in, he says he didn't feel like he could talk in front of the other, you know, give it to us straight, whereas doctors are supposed to supersede all politics. And so he kind of got himself into this role where he makes a lot of money. I think he makes over $400,000 a year. But it was one of those roles where it was a no-win situation. And whatever he did, he was going to be, you know, criticized of. Well, now it's not the masks. It's not his supporting the mandates. It's not the flip-flopping. It's not even now the NIH funding possible gain of research function. Apparently, there are tons of legislators, Democrat and Republican, that are asking for answers from the NIH because they have been warned and briefed on these experiments that were being done with little baby beagles, 44 beagle puppies. And it was being released by the investigation, I guess, or the data leak was done by the White Coat Waste Project. What they do is they look to find what sort of studies are done with our tax-paying dollars. I'm not sure if they were the ones that discovered we were studying cow farts, but, you know, I know people worry about climate change, so they want to look at cow farts. So Democrat and Republican legislators are now demanding answers from Director of National Institutes of Health, Dr. Anthony Fauci, because a report from the White Coat Waste Project reveals that his agency funded research with U.S. tax dollars that resulted in, quote, cruel treatment and experiments on 44 beagles. Now, the White Coat Waste Project claims that these beagles were used in a Tunisia, North Africa laboratory, and the scientists couldn't work because of their incessant barking, that they actually removed their vocal cords, which wasn't even supposed to be, I think, part of the experiment. According to Justin Goodman, Vice President, Advocacy of Public Policy of the White Coat Waste Project, the beagles were chosen due to their small size and submissive nature. Now, this was a letter he wrote to Fauci 1 month prior. And he said, last month, which means the previous month, our taxpayer watchdog group exposed how Dr. Fauci's division at the National Institutes of Health has been funding wasteful and deadly experiments on beagles in the U.S. and abroad. Records show that some of the dogs vocalized in pain. Now, White Coat Waste told Changing America, our investigators show that Fauci's NIH division shipped part of a $375,800 grant to a lab in Tunisia to drug beagles and lock their heads in mesh cages filled with hungry sand flies so that insects could eat them alive. They state they also locked beagles alone in their cages in the desert overnight for 9 consecutive nights to use them as bait to attract infectious sand flies. So I'm reading this and I go, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Yet apparently Congress does. So Representatives Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, is joined by Cindy Axne from Iowa, Democrat from Iowa, Cliff Bentz from Oregon, Steve Cohn from Tennessee, Rick Crawford from Arkansas, Brian Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania, Scott Franklin from Florida, Andrew Garbarino from New York, Carlos Jimenez from Florida, Jimmy Gomez from California, Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey, Fred Keller from Pennsylvania, Ted Lieu from California, McLean from Michigan, Maliotakis, New York, Mast, Florida, Perry, Pennsylvania, Posey, Florida, Quigley, Illinois, Roy Bull Allard, California, Salazar, Florida, Sewell, Alabama, Webster, Florida, and Eleanor Holmes Norton from Delaware, D.C., she's a Democrat for D.C., in a letter accusing the NIH of funding cruel testing and a reprehensible misuse of taxpayer funds. So they looked at this, and they said that from October 18th to February 19th, the National Institutes of Health spent $1.68 million on taxpayer funds on drug tests involving 48 beagle puppies. All of these dogs were between 6 and 8 months old. These tests involved injecting and force-feeding the puppies with an experimental drug for several weeks, before killing and dissecting them. They also are of concern of the chordectomies, where the vocal cords were removed to devocalize, to stop them from barking, howling, or crying, which would have also alerted the scientists that these dogs were in pain. Again, I'm blown away that this could happen. They said the cruel procedure is opposed, with rare exceptions, by the American Veterinarian Medical Association, the American Animal Hospital Association, and others. And they think this was performed so the scientists wouldn't have to hear the cries of the puppies. Now, they're confused because the FDA does not mandate that human drugs be studied on dogs. And why are they using dogs? So these are the questions they want answered. How many drug tests involving dogs have been funded by the NIAID since January 2018, and how much taxpayer dollars are being spent on this? Since the FDA has clearly stated it doesn't require dog testing for new drugs, why did they commission testing on dogs? What has the NIAID done to explore the use of non-canine and non-animal alternatives to meet FDA requirements? They want details. Has the NIAID ever made any dogs available for adoption after the conclusion of an experiment or testing? If so, how many? And if no, why not? They wonder, why were they killed? Why has NIAID contracted for chordectomies when they appear to be scientifically and medically unnecessary? And what is the average cost for each chordectomy? They want answers by November 19th. I would like answers too. That is ridiculous. Again, I didn't even think this was a story. I thought it was people going after Fauci. People are so mad about the masks and they're mad about the mandates. But if he is oversees this, then he is responsible for the funding and what the funding is going to. And I thought we have made huge leaps and bounds to not have animal cruelty in these medical laboratory settings. So, and they're beagles. Beagles are pretty compliant. My dog is a Bichon. She's stubborn. I thought Bichons would be like, all right, they'll listen to me. I could train them. Oh, no. She'll stand in the middle of the street. If she doesn't want to walk to the sidewalk, she won't. I mean, and so beagles apparently are really, really amenable to training and to... They're really good with kids. They're just adorable. I don't understand what they were doing with sandflies. I don't understand what they were doing testing human drugs. Now, I am very, very grateful for any animal that is sacrificed for human advancement in medicine, which had been done all these years. And it's sad that it happened. And their deaths are not in vain. We have to be very careful, you know, because we lost a lot of animals throughout the years, and you know, we do appreciate their work. Sadly, the Nazis used humans for many of their experiments and their advancements. And so we are, and especially PETA is pushing for non-animal ways to test drugs and to, ensure that we're not hurting animals. Although the NIH is also under fire for mice that got ill when they were working with bat coronaviruses. The NIH has a lot of explaining to do, and they've kind of punted that to EcoHealth Alliance, which I believe by today or tomorrow is supposed to pony up all unpublished data, because the NIH says they did not perform gain-of-function research, which is creating something in a lab that could cause more harm to humans. And the NIH said this was an accident where it was unexpected that mice got hurt from the coronavirus spike proteins. So I think it's time for us to know what the hell is going on. 1-877-DOCTOR-DOLLY, don't go away.
The The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
An FDA advisory board is meeting on Tuesday to consider Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 to 11. The panel is evaluating Pfizer's request to allow the shots for 28 million younger kids. The CDC set to weigh in next, and hopefully they will have a decision by the start of next week. Texas troopers are gearing up for another surge of migrants as a caravan of nearly 3,000 from Central and South America is heading for the United States. Thomas Feely is a former director of the ICE agency in New York. He says the border is wide open.
As long as the door remains open, they'll continue to come. And what's really shocking about this caravan is they're already demonstrating that they don't obey the laws of where they're currently at. So there's no expectation that they'll obey our laws when they get here.
And you're listening to USA Radio News. A busy week ahead for Democrats and their legislative agenda.
With a new business week in hand, Democrats are looking to finally close the deal on President Biden's legislative agenda. And it was the aim of a meeting on Sunday in Delaware between Biden and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and a Democrat in the Senate who often votes with Republicans, West Virginia's Joe Manchin. The White House saying the three of them had a productive discussion. The meeting coming as Democrats are hoping to finally pass both the bipartisan infrastructure measure and the more partisan social infrastructure bill, which even has Democrats fighting among themselves. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that may be put to rest now as a deal is virtually at hand.
With 90% of the bill agreed to and written.
She was speaking on CNN. And from the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
President Biden promoting his Build Back Better plan in New Jersey today. USA Radio News.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Dr. Dolly, 1-877-DOC-DALI. So we say goodbye yesterday to Gunther. He was James Michael Tyler. He played Gunther on Friends. And we spoke a few months back about how he was in stage 4 prostate cancer, as he didn't, during the pandemic, have the opportunity to do his follow-ups. He had been diagnosed years prior. And sadly, he died this weekend peacefully at his home at age 59. So during an interview on the Today Show back in June, he had revealed he had stage 4 prostate cancer, which was quote-unquote aggressive. He had been diagnosed in 2018 during an annual checkup when his provider ran a screening PSA test that was, quote, extraordinarily high. PSA is your prostate-specific antigen. So he had stated, I've been dealing with a diagnosis for almost the past 3 years. It's stage 4, late stage cancer, so eventually, you know, he says it's going to probably get me. He had been initially optimistic, but he said during the pandemic, the cancer, quote, mutated, and he unfortunately skipped testing. The cancer eventually spread to his bones. He developed paralysis of his lower limbs. He did undergo chemotherapy to aggressively treat the cancer, but it didn't work. So according to his manager, Tony Benson, as reported by WAPT, the world knew him as Gunther, the seventh friend from the hit series Friends. But Michael's loved ones knew him as an actor, musician, cancer awareness advocate, and loving husband. He loved music, cheering on the Clemson Tigers, and would often find himself in fun and unplanned adventures. Now, prostate cancer in younger men such as that, meaning he was diagnosed in his mid-50s, aggressive cancer, is frustrating to me because I keep seeing the collective, collective attitude of don't be screening regularly for these things. Yet Ben Stiller, in 2016, had revealed he had aggressive prostate cancer that was diagnosed 2 years prior. He, however, at the time, was successful in treating his prostate cancer. And so I liked screening for prostate cancer. You know, when I got done with training, and, you know, we have urology training, and when you see what happens in men, African-American men especially, I'm like, look, let's get your baseline PSA. Let's get a baseline PSA, and then we'll check it, depending on your risk factors in a year, a few years. If it's going up, then we know there's an issue, and we catch it before it becomes aggressive. The problem is we were accused of unnecessary tests. Back in 2012, the USPSTF recommended against screening for prostate cancer. They say the long-term effect of PSA screening on prostate cancer, specific mortality, remains uncertain. Existing studies adequately demonstrate that the reduction in prostate cancer mortality after 10 to 14 years is at most very small, even for men at what seems to be the optimal age range of 55 to 69 years. There is no apparent reduction in all-cause mortality, and in contrast, the harms associated with the diagnosis and treatment of screen-detected cancer are common, occur early, often persist, and include a small but real risk for premature death. So they're saying that men, if they're screened, they could face harms because of the treatment, the overdiagnosis, and overtreatment. And I get that. I appreciate that. Somebody might get his prostate removed because they found early cancer, and then what happens? He might have erectile dysfunction or some other issues. So many providers agreed that there were a lot of false positives. But my problem, and I think a lot of doctors' problems, is how do we find the early aggressive ones? Just like with breast cancer, we're screening in women's 50s. And we don't want to be screening 25-year-olds. But every now and then you hear of a teenager or somebody in their 20s that has an aggressive breast cancer. And so you say, well, then you know what? Those will be found on breast exams. We're going to recommend people examine their breasts. No, those aren't recommended either because, again, they think there's going to be too many false positives. They think a woman's going to examine her breast, think there's a lump, go and get testing, and cause unnecessary harm to her and cost. So I see the arguments on both sides. But if the USPSTF is not recommending screening, then these, you know, people like Gunther, you know, that was his doctor that just routinely put it on his test in his 50s and found it. Sadly, by the time that was done, it was already too late. Now, Ben Stiller was 46 years old at the time. He actually requested the PSA. His physician found it necessary to repeat the test later in the year to see if it rose. Then his physician recommended a prostate biopsy. And lo and behold, he had prostate cancer. He had his prostate removed a few months later by robotic-assisted laparoscopic radical prostatectomy. And at the time of the article, which was a couple years ago, Ben Stiller said he was cancer-free. Back in 2016, he said, if I had waited, as the American Cancer Society recommends, until I was 50, I would have not known I had a growing tumor until 2 years after I got treated. He said if he had followed the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force guidelines, I would have never gotten tested at all, not ever known I had cancer until it was way too late to treat successfully. Now, in 2018, the task force updated their guidelines. They released their final recommendation, and they said that if you are 55 to 69, you could make an individual decision about whether to be screened after a conversation with your clinician. For men over 70, the potential benefits do not outweigh the expected harms, and these men should not be routinely screened for prostate cancer. So this was May 8, 2018. And again, I understand where they're going, because if the average prostate cancer is slow growing and most people will die of something else before the cancer gets them, why are you putting older men over 70 through unnecessary tests? But Ben Stiller was 46. James Michael Taylor was in his mid-50s. Luckily, his doctor, screened for it, but still too late. So the American Cancer Society, though, because that was the task force, the American Cancer Society does recommend cancer screening. They recommend that men have a chance to make an informed decision with their healthcare provider about whether to be screened for prostate cancer, and the decision should be made after getting information about the uncertainties, risks, potential benefits of prostate cancer screening. They shouldn't be screened unless somebody actually sits down and discusses that with them. Don't just throw it on the lab test. So they say screening should take place at 50 years old for men who are at average risk of prostate cancer and expected to live at least 10 more years. 45 years old for men at high risk, including African Americans. Men who has a first degree relative, father or brother, who had prostate cancer diagnosed at an early age. This is what I've been saying for years. Age 40 for men even at higher risk, a first degree relative who had prostate cancer at an early age. They go after this discussion, they can get the PSA, a digital rectal exam, and if a man is still unable to decide what testing, then, the doctor should take into account his general health preferences and values. If no prostate cancer is found as a result of screening, they say the time between future screenings depends on the PSA. If men who choose to be tested have a PSA of less than 2.5, they only need to be tested every 2 years. If their PSA is 2.5 or higher, it should be done yearly. And I told you, if you go up by one whole point in 6 months, that's or actually even 0.5 in a year, that's shows your PSA is rising, and that could be a concern. So, we're all individuals. Talk to your doctor. These aren't laws, but they're guidelines. And, sit down with your medical provider. Your health comes first. 1-877-DOCTELLY.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. TCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
877-878-4203. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So for years as a physician, I came to learn that a lot of men don't like to go to the doctor. A lot of women would. Women would be more likely. And I didn't really find that always to be true. Because if anything happened to their groin or penis, they were there. And if you have a spot or a beefy red lesion or a flesh-eating STI or a genital rotting sort of bacteria, trust me, that dude was there. And so it's interesting to see the headlines. We spoke about this a few years ago. I wrote a piece on this a few years ago. They had called it genital rotting. Now they're calling it a flesh-eating STD with beefy red sores. And so, you know, this is something that gets people's attention. So all of a sudden now, you know, if it wasn't puppies getting killed in an offshore laboratory, it's going to be flesh-eating, groin-rotting STD. So let me tell you guys what this is. And we spoke about this on the show before. So in the UK, they're starting to see cases rise. I think they had cases rise of, I think at about 30 in the last 2 years. No, there were 30 cases in the year 2019 in the UK. And I think the cases are rising. We don't really have many cases here in the United States, but it's a bacteria, and we call the condition donovanosis or granuloma inguinal. So we didn't call it flesh rotting, flesh eating, groin gangrene. We didn't call it that. We called it granuloma inguinal, and they're big, nasty, beefy lesions that you can get in the groin area or on the penis. And so it's a medical term, donovanosis. It's caused by Klebsiella granulomatosis. It's found in tropical and subtropical climates like India, Africa, and Australia. But we are seeing it in the UK. We do see them in America. And these lesions are very beefy red because they start to destroy the tissue. And then, of course, you have the inflammation and the induration and all that. And so they're pretty, they look beefy red. Okay. Not well done beef, but beef that's rare. That's why they call it beefy red. Public officials also say this could be a risk factor for HIV. According to Birmingham Live, Dr. Cherie Dada from London's My Healthcare Clinic says figures suggest that donovanosis, which is what this is, which was previously thought to be restricted to places including India, Brazil, and New Guinea, is becoming more common on these shores. Well, a few years ago, it was, because I wrote a piece on it. We talked about it, like back in 2018. So how common is this in America? 100 cases each year. This is the same statistic as we got a few years ago. So, the one thing about this is I don't think telemedicine per se is addressing these, because with telemedicine, if there's any STD or anything going on with a man's penis, we're supposed to refer it out, and we're supposed to recommend somebody take a look at it in person, do a culture, because it's an infectious disease, it's a communicable disease. So most of these are not supposed to be treated online. So if the numbers are still 100 a year, I could believe that. If they go down, then it's because people might be getting treated over the phone. Men are affected twice as often as women. It is transmitted through vaginal and anal intercourse. Oral sexual transmission is rare. So the CDC says you're going to start seeing symptoms 1 or 2 weeks, anywhere, actually between 1 and 12 weeks after infection, the majority 1 and 2 weeks. The infection begins with a relatively painless nodule. Then it starts to break down into a shallow, sharply demarcated ulcer with a beefy, red, friable base of granulation tissue. So it basically starts to kind of eat away at the flesh. The skin becomes friable, but well demarcated, meaning it's not, it's going to kind of be, it'll have a border on it. You won't miss it. You're not going to miss it. The lesions can occur on the skin, genitalia, perineal. Perineal is between the scrotum and the anus, so in that area. Okay? And it could spread to the lower abdomen and thighs. The lesion can develop secondary bacterial infection, can also coexist with other sexually transmitted diseases. So you find these little Donovan bodies, which are within the bacteria, or it's the bacteria that are engulfed by the immune cell. You see these little dots, so they're called Donovan bodies. That's how we know that's what this is. The lesions could become infected, but there was one case where one actually turned malignant into squamous cell carcinoma. Now, what's frightening about this STD is the incubation period could be almost as long as a year. Now, if you get an STD, you want to know about it. You want to treat it. You want to stop spreading it. But this is why health officials are a little worried, because if you had sex, nothing happened, and you don't see a lesion until a year later, how do you even remember who you had sex with unless it was only one partner? So you could spread it. Now, there's four types of donovanosis. You have the ulcerogranulomatosis. It's the most common type, where you get those beefy red, non-tender ulcers. They bleed to the touch, and they could be extensive. You have the hypertrophic or verrucous, which is like a wart. It has an irregular edge, and it's more dry. It's not as friable and juicy. You have the necrotic, where it starts to kill the tissue, and it starts to smell. And then you have the dry sclerotic or ciatrical lesion. Cicatrical. Forget it. With fibrous and scar tissue. You could treat the sucker with antibiotics. You could do azithromycin 1 gram orally once a week, or 500 milligrams daily for at least 3 weeks. You got to do it for about 3 weeks until all lesions are completely healed. You could also use erythromycin, doxycycline. I've seen ciprofloxacin used, trimethoprim, sulfamethoxazole. So people ask, are STDs getting meaner? No, because we learned about this in the 90s when I was in medical school. No. STDs are STDs. STDs have been around. We have condoms. You would think that we would see less of them. But what I'm seeing is not a lot of people have protected sex. The average person that has called me up, you know, with some concerns, right, is saying, no, we don't use condoms. And it's a, you know, maybe monogamous relationship, maybe not. And when I ask people and I go, you know, what concerns do you have with condoms? You know, latex allergies. They just go, no, we don't use them. You know, why spend the money on this treatment? If we get an STD, we treat it. People think they could just get a Z-Pak. Just really easy. Gonorrhea, chlamydia, these antibiotics they think are super easy. And they don't understand they could also get HIV. You don't understand that if you get herpes, you could have herpes for life. I mean, even though if two people have herpes, it doesn't really hurt them, except it could affect a baby when they're born. But, you know, if you have a partner that doesn't have herpes, they may not want it. You know, if you have a partner that doesn't have HIV, they may not want it. Same thing with syphilis. And so people think I could just treat it and it's gone from my past. Nobody ever knows about it. And yes, we've made huge medical advancements, but please don't use the fact that we have treatments for these things as a reason to not be careful. You know, condoms have been around for a reason. Condoms, they used to use condoms in Greek days with bladders of cows and intestines and things like that. They would do whatever it took to try to, you know, prevent STDs or pregnancy or whatever, putting something on it. Honestly, these I think STDs and STIs are going to get more wily. They are going to get more smart. And as we get more lax, as we get lazy, we're going to sadly be at more risk. So that's what the beefy red flesh eating STD is. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away.
This is an important message. Do you have an IRA, 401k, or retirement account worth more than $100,000? Your portfolio may qualify for an IRS tax loophole that allows you to own physical, precious metals inside of your retirement account. Want our free report that shows you how? We are WealthProtectionResearch.com, and we help investors connect with the top precious metal companies in America to own physical gold and silver inside their retirement account using this little-known but very powerful IRS loophole. To claim your free IRS loophole report today, just text the word GOLD to 48542. WealthProtectionResearch.com wants to get this information in your hands now so that you can protect your hard-earned investments. Text GOLD to 48542 to learn more. When you text the word GOLD to 48542, we'll send you a secure link to download our IRS loophole report to show you how to start protecting your wealth with precious metals. Don't wait. Text the word GOLD to 48542 now. Wealth Protection Research. Text GOLD to 48542.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.